Good morning again. Here we are. Sermon time. I want to be honest, I have never spoke on what we're just about to talk about. And I said to Pastor Henry this week when he stops in, because as you know, he always stops in when he needs to. And I was sermonizing. And yeah, I know that's not a word, okay? I know sermonizing is not a word. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, the topic. And I said, I've never spoke on it before. And he said, neither have I. I'm like, great, you're not very much help this morning. And the reason I haven't talked on it very much is because God's not finished his work in my heart on it. And so often I stand up before you and I don't like preaching on stuff that I don't know in my own heart. I just feel like that's wrong. And so as we're going through this series on doing love, I realized when we got to this one, I was like, how are you doing with this topic? And this morning we are talking about justice. And so we started off with, in week one, with God with us, Emmanuel, asking the question, well, who do we need to be with? And then in week two, Pastor Henry talked about that we are free to fail and that we aren't to let failure stop us because God can work all things together because of his audacious love, which is what we talked about the next week, that God's audacious love is all-encompassing. It is audaciously complete, audaciously tenacious. It holds on. It holds on no matter what, and it's audaciously courageous. It just steps out. And then last week, we talked about that we are not to be afraid. Be not afraid. That being inside of us is, don't be afraid. Like, trust God, because when he calls us to do something, he equips us with himself. And we looked at four examples in Scripture where every time God said, be not afraid, do not be afraid, he gives them the task, and he said, I will be with you. So we don't need to be afraid because our Father in heaven promised that he would be with us. And so that brings us to today, which is follow me. And it's interesting because as I was thinking through what that meant, often when God calls us, when Jesus calls us to follow him, that means do as I do, all right? It's not just like follow behind me. It's come with me and do what I do. And so this morning we're going to talk about the concept of justice, which is near and dear to the Lord's heart. And this morning I was reminded of a story that took place when I was about 4 years old. And so many of you know my sister was hit by a car when she was 8. I was 3 and a half, and radically changed our family's life. Went from being, I want to say, the perfect family, everything good and rosy and wonderful, to having a child that had severe learning disability, severe to the point of where she had come from. And I remember. And she had an anger issue, too, because she no longer could express how she was feeling. And so that often comes out in anger. And so I remember going up to the public school with my mom. So I was either in kindergarten or slightly before kindergarten. And I remember standing in the foyer, and the vice principal, a very tall, slim man, started talking about my sister and the struggles that they were having. And I remember him saying something along the lines of, well, we know that she's just a kid, and as kids go, she's going to have some struggles, and she's a good kid. And I remember just stepping out from behind my mom and go, she's not a goat. I had watched a lot of Sesame Street, okay? And I knew what a kid was. A kid was a baby goat. And how dare he call my sister a baby goat? She was a person. And I remember right from that very beginning, I have a very low intolerance. A high intolerance? I don't like it. Okay? I just don't like it when people tease other people, put other people down, or, I'm not going to talk about all the people that are saying stuff about our premier on Facebook right now, period. that happens to be anyone in this room, I'm going to direct you to Romans 13, where it says that we're to pray for people in authority over us and not, like, berate them, period. That's all I'm saying about that. Anyways, I have a very low tolerance for people who make fun of other people. Because for the most part, my sister had no control over the way that she was. And how dare he call her a goat? How dare he? And so right from that very beginning, right there, I grew up with this. When I saw people left out, when I saw people made fun of, I immediately stepped in and tried to make them okay. Because I had a sister that came home and would be so upset and crying all the time because people didn't know how to be around her anymore. So I wanted to make things good for her as they used to be, as they should be. And so that brings us to what justice means. And justice is just behavior or treatment, a concern for justice, peace, and genuine respect for people. I love that description of what justice means. A concern for justice, peace, and genuine respect for people. Because God made every single person in His image and in His likeness. And so when we look at people, we're looking at the face of God. And part of our job as believers is to bring justice, because this world is very unjust. There are kids waking up hungry, going to school and coming home hungry, and going to bed hungry. There are women and children who are being trafficked for the pleasure of other people who are willing to pay money for that pleasure. There are men and women who sit on park benches and sleep there because they have no place to go. There are hungry students at Georgian College because they simply don't have enough money to pay for school and to pay for food. There is just injustice all around us. And so this is near and dear to the heart of God. In fact, it's who God is, because He cares about people. I love this passage from Luke. It says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows." I love that image, that even the hairs on your head, before you get in the shower and after you get in the shower, all right? Because I know what happens in the shower. He knows and He cares about all of you. You have immense value and worth. There is no scale. There is no scale when it comes to God. He loves you. He values you. He values every single one of you. And so because He values you, then we need to value each other too. And so this sense of justice comes from a place of who God is. In Psalms it says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you." Like, it's who He is. It's foundation to who He is. That idea of treating every single person with love and respect and honor. Every person, whether you get along with them or you don't, whether they're a different color than you are, or whether they're not as intelligent, whether they're better at sports, doesn't matter. Every single person needs to be treated with honor and respect and justice. It's part of who He is. It's part of who He is. And it's what He does. It says in Psalm 146, "He, as in God, upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But He frustrates the way of the wicked." So He looks after people who are getting the short end of the stick. And it goes all the way throughout Scripture. Right in the very beginning in Leviticus, he actually puts out this idea, this concept of when you go into a field, leave the edges behind. So the homeless, the alien, those mean foreigners, the widows, the fatherless can come and get food. So right from the very beginning, God set up this plan to look after people. Who did he tell to look after people? Us. As a friend of mine said to me, God puts big men in my life for reasons. It's just really funny. Like, Henry's a big guy, and he just shows up whenever I need him. And so my friend Jared, also a big guy, and I remember a few times where I was just not feeling great. And Jared's like, do you want me to say something? Do you want me to step in? I'm like, Jared, God's going to look after this. He's like, sometimes we need to be God's hands and feet. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pray for God to move. And if he moves you, then that's fine. But as I've been thinking about this whole concept of justice, that is so true. Sometimes we do have to be God's hands and feet. Sometimes he does say, they're being abused or neglected. You need to step in there. You need to do something. This is Leviticus, do not pervert justice, do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. And then Micah, so Leviticus is at the beginning of the Old Testament, Micah's near the end. So all the way through, the same idea. He has showed you, O man or O person, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So right there in the very, like, all the way throughout Scripture, we are called to treat people fairly, to make sure people are treated fairly, to do fairly, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That means, dear Lord Jesus, what is it that you would have me to do in this situation? Because sometimes we see things and we're like, I don't know what I should be doing. Well, invite Jesus into the situation. Ask him. How do I handle this? I see that this injustice is going on. What is it that you would have me to do? That's the walk humbly with your God part. Because not every story is our story to get involved with. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is getting involved in somebody else's business is like pulling on a dog's ear. You're going to get bit. That's the Jen paraphrased version. You can look it up. It's somewhere in Psalms or Proverbs. But it's so true. That's why you need to ask God, do you want me to get involved in this? How would you like me to get involved in it? Because not every story is our story to get involved with. And so he calls us to get involved. And when we do get involved, when we love others, when we care for others, we actually care for Jesus. This passage is taken from Matthew, and it says, at the end of days, when the Son of Man comes, this is what he's going to say. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of these least, did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me. So when we feed the hungry, when we provide homes for the homeless, when we rescue people who are being trafficked, when we read to a kid who has nobody at home to read to them, we are doing it to Jesus. And I love that image of just Jesus being present when we are showing love to others. So the question is then, why do you think God wants his followers to act for justice? Yes, we are his hands and feet on this earth. We are the ones that bring Jesus to people. Yes, God moves in a powerful way, in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine, but he does a lot of it through us. So when we step out, when we serve other people, we are bringing the love of Christ to people. They can experience how good God is by the way that they are loved by people who love Jesus. And this passage in Isaiah, which I do not have on the screen, because I couldn't find an interpretation that made me feel good. And there was a lot of interpretations. And I just kept hoping that I'd find one that I didn't feel convicted over. Didn't happen. Okay, so this is Isaiah 58:6. And so I am reading from the New Revised Standard. It says this: "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" There's this idea that when we actually do justice, when we bring homeless people into our home, that's, I kept hoping I'd find a different version that said something different. When we look after our family, God hears us. When we set the captives free by breaking the bonds of injustice. In one passage, in one translation, it said to be kind to those who work for you. Go online, hit Isaiah 58:6 and 7, and every single translation had one thing that just went right into my very heart. Because it's challenging to do justice, to think outside of ourselves, because it takes energy, it takes time, it takes money. And so we often would say, well, how do we do this so it's not an inconvenience to me? And I confess that quite openly, because as I went to Walmart yesterday, I drove in a way I never drove in, and I saw this man sitting in front of Payless, and I thought, well, isn't that strange? And I could tell that he was panhandling. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I'm feeling convicted. What am I supposed to do? And so I went and I parked my car, and I actually turned to walk over towards the man, and I saw somebody else there. So literally in my spirit, I was like, whew, I don't have to do anything. Somebody else is there. I'm not sure if that was really the right response, because all I could think about was, am I going to have to take him into my house? Now, I'm not going to take strange men into my house. I'm just letting you know, because that's a whole different story. I will not be taking strange men into my house. But I felt so convicted, because I'm like, you could have at least gone over and said, is there anything I can do for you? And so often because we don't know what to do in our head, then nothing comes out of our heart. And that's where it says, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Let God figure out what it is that he wants us to do. If he's stirring something up in our hearts, then just, you know, it doesn't hurt to go over and ask. to say, God, what is it? How do I show your love, your kingdom to this person who obviously is struggling? Because regular people don't sit in front of Payless with a pan out front asking for money. Obviously something is wrong. So I know I did not handle that right. And so I need to be willing to say, God, when I see stuff, what is it that you would have me do? And so Bob, I love, it's funny because Bob is also on Easy Worship today. I love that Bob too. But I love what Bob says. He's like, I'm a lawyer, so I do what lawyers do. Because you might be thinking, well, I don't know what to do. Whatever skill, maybe you're a builder, so you do what a builder does. Or you're a nurse, so you do what nurses do. Or you're a mom, so you know what moms do. Or you're a dad, so you know what dads do. Or you're good with money, so you do what people who are good with money do. Right? You do whatever it is that's in your hand. And so I'm going to show you a little clip about what Bob says lawyers do to help bring justice. So instead of closing our eyes and bowing our heads, sometimes God wants us to keep our eyes open for people in need, do something about it, and then bow our whole lives to Him instead. And so the question is, how is God stirring you? And we have been on this journey of figuring out our mission. We know that we need to tell people about Jesus. And so that's our global mission. We know that our time in Ghana is finishing up. And so we're asking, what is the next step? Because there's still injustice all around the world. So God, how are you wiring us to reach a need there? But we need to be doing the same locally. So I came up with this little card. And I'm going to ask that you take it out. And if you did not get one, we will gladly put one in your hand. Because I want to know what God is stirring up in your heart. It's so important that we as a church family figure out, how has God wired us and what are we willing to do? Which is why I only have two questions. All right, two questions. Very simple. And there's a blank and the back is blank too. So if there's more that you want to say, that's fine. But it's two questions. How is God asking us to follow Him in Barrie? Which of the following stirs your heart? And I want you to pick two. Okay? And for those of you who are like, yeah, but I... Then pick three, okay? But don't check off all of them, all right? So pick two. Is it homelessness? Is it human trafficking? Is it hunger? Is it poverty? Is it children, youth, or other? And I'm going to ask you to fill that in. And then the second question is this. How would you be interested in participating in a local mission? By physically getting involved? By praying? Or by giving financially? And that's also an important question, because I am not wired to be physically involved in every single local mission that we might decide to be a part of. I might be wired to pray, or I might be wired to give, but my gifts and graces aren't necessarily wired for what it is, the physical part of the mission. And we had a young lady by the name of Michaela come last week to IF, and she talked about human trafficking in Barrie, which was very shocking. And she says, I have people who just sit in the car and pray for me while I go in and have the conversation. And she said, I need people praying for me. And I say this again and again and again. We need to be a people of prayer. That's why we have people praying during the service. Because we need the Spirit of God to move in our hearts so that we can do amazing and awesome things for Him, so that this community can experience the love and power of Christ in their lives. So how is God stirring your heart? We're going to be singing a song called Hosanna. And there's this line that every time we sing that line, it goes right to my heart. It says, break my heart for what breaks yours. So what is breaking God's heart for our church family in our community? Because that's the direction that we need to be going in. Because that's what God is calling us to. I know that He's put us in this exact spot on this corner in Barrie for a reason. And we need to now be answering that call to say, okay, God, we know what is breaking your heart because it's breaking ours too. Would you now equip us, mobilize us to move out and deal with those needs in our community so that they can experience the love and grace of God, so they can experience a transformed life, so they can have that peace that I know I have in my heart. Like I said this morning, when we can just lay all of our troubles down and we know that a God's going to come and deal with it. I want that for every single person. I want them to have that knowledge deep in their heart that God loves them and cares for them, just like we do. And so you don't need to put your name on it. There'll be opportunities for you to sign up later. I just want to do a little tally. And so on the way out, there is an offering plate there. I'm going to ask that you just put it right in that offering plate. And it is anonymous, so fill it out. But as we sing, the question is, how do I respond to this? Well, first is, do you know that Jesus is calling you to follow him? Like, do you know in your knower that Jesus, that God is calling you because he loves you? He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He wants to bring you peace in your innermost being. And if you've never thought about following God before, well, then today's your day. It goes something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I don't know everything about you, but I know that I'm not following you right now. Would you show me what it means to follow you? And then secondly, where do you believe God is calling you to follow him to? And that's for those of us that have actually said yes to the first question. How's God wiring each one of us to go where he's leading us to go, to be who he wants us to be, to bring that love and grace and justice to every single person so they too can experience God's love and grace and then show that to other people? So the prayer rails are available. I would invite you, if something is burdening on your heart, to come forward and pray. Maybe it's a specific thing like what's on this list. Or maybe there's a family issue and you need to come pray for that. Or maybe it's a health issue. Whatever is on your heart, whatever is weighing you down, whatever it is that you've laid before the Lord and you're inviting him to come into, we invite you to come forward. Your church family will pray for you. They will come forward. But let's give this time to the Lord and just say, God, how is it that you would have me to respond? And then would you give me the courage to do that? So, dear Lord Jesus, we come before you. And I ask that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours, that we would be willing to go where you're asking us to go, whatever it is that you've put in our hands that we would use to bring justice to people so that they can experience your justice, your love, your grace, your mercy, and your peace. And so, Lord, break our hearts for what breaks yours and give us the courage to go there. And I pray this in your name. Amen.